This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I'm really looking forward to our time together this week. There's been some really significant planning. Some of the faculty and administrators have put some time into this. And I recognize that this is a topic that for some of you might be a little bit awkward. And for others of you, you might be saying it's about time. I also appreciate the fact, as Dr. Byers pointed out, that we come at this from a lot of different backgrounds and perspectives. Some of you have been fortunate enough to have really great parenting, church involvement, youth pastors who have instructed you well in this area, and you're blessed for that. Others of you have not been quite so fortunate and perhaps have had very difficult experiences in this whole area of sexuality. And as Dr. Byer pointed out so well, if for some reason God has chosen this time to speak to you about some healing in this area or some guilt that you've carried in this area, perhaps these next few days will be His invitation for you to say it's time to open up some dialogue. And I trust that He'll provide those people for you to talk with and allow this to be a time of dealing with God and a very important issue. As we talk about important issues regarding God's design for sex and sexuality, it's easy to have a lot of guilt, and the enemy loves to stir up the guilt. We'll talk about that throughout the next few days. What do you do with that? But I'd like us to make an agreement that we're going to do an experiment and make these next couple days a guilt-free zone. No guilt. When the Spirit speaks to you, He'll speak to you to restore and build up, not to tear down and destroy. Can we agree on that? All right, we have that understanding. We have goals here at CIU that talk about educating from a biblical worldview to impact the nations. I'd like to stop right there for a second and take a look at the nations that we're impacting. It doesn't take much movement into the world around us to recognize that sex is pervasive. Discussions about it. We live in a sex-saturated world, and that is the world that we are going in to minister to. So if we're going to impact the nations, we'd better be prepared for what the nations are obsessed with. We don't need to get all caught up in the statistics, but a few numbers that might be helpful. And I put these in a range because it depends on the research you look at. But roughly somewhere between 40 and 50% of couples experiencing their first marriage are coming into that marriage having lived together. We live in a society that has a multi-billion dollar pornography industry. United States is the primary producer of pornography for the world. 25% of the search engine hits are pornographic related. We're now in the millions of children that are caught up in human trafficking. This is the world that we're going into, and if we're going to be prepared to be world Christians, we'd better have a pretty good understanding of what the world has done to destroy God's design for sexuality. And quite frankly, I'm a little bit tired of being on the defensive on this issue. There's been way too much silence in our churches and our Christian communities on this issue. It's God's design, it's His plan. Maybe your generation, maybe CIU will begin to champion this cause because it's a cause that's very dear to the heart of Christ. Let's think about this from an offensive standpoint and move out of this defensive posture, having given this important topic over to the world. The other part of our goal here is to educate from a biblical worldview. And what I'd like to do is to take a look at what that means in this area of sexuality, because to understand God's design for sexuality, we really do need to understand His heart for relationships. And I'd like to take a look at Scripture through a very quick relational lens. Trinity, before creation, perfect love relationship. Father pouring into Son, Son pouring into Spirit, Spirit just joining this beautiful celebration of intimacy and oneness in this truest definition of Trinitarian love, their greatest pleasure was to pour into one another and exalt each other from all of eternity past. Out of that overflow, God created. He created this perfect relational community, perfect relationship with nature, perfect relationship with Adam and Eve, and perfect relationship with God, their creator, as he came and walked in the cool of the day, we read in Genesis 3. From that perfect creation, God called out a people over time because he wanted to be in relationship with his people and dwell among them. And he called this people out, and he came and he dwelt among them. And we look at things like the ark and the temple as representatives of God's presence with the people. Unfortunately, it was too hard for the people to keep that relationship going. God gave them laws and guidelines to help them. Have you ever thought about the law as being given as a means to protect relationship? Not a heavy burden, but a means to protect something that was very special to God. And when that law couldn't be fulfilled, he sent prophets. Prophets were designed to speak truths into the people's lives so that relationship could be restored. He eventually then sent his son to live among us and be his representation, God in flesh dwelling among us, relationship. And finally, as Jesus was preparing to go, he said, "It's better for you that I go because I'll send the Comforter, the Spirit, to dwell within you." What could be more intimate than that? So if we look at relationship, if we look at Scripture through a relational lens, we see a God whose heart is relationship. And it's within that context that I like us to look at this issue of sexuality. To do that, I'd like to suggest a continuum, starting with meaningful friendships all the way to full sexual expression. And we look on this continuum because it gives us this design of God's plan, but right away we see something that's different. We see a world's perspective and how much it goes against this natural movement of God's. Starting with, from a world perspective, sex can occur at any time, at any point in this continuum. Secondly, it can even occur outside of a relationship. We have a hookup culture that says we don't even need to be in relationship to experience the physical act of sex. And as I mentioned about the pornography, we have a view of sex that can be done with an image on a screen. And you can see how the world has compartmentalized sex, which takes it outside of God's natural relational order, so much so that the world's definition of sex is primarily built around what we do with genitalia. What a cheapening of God's design. It's unfortunate that we've allowed them to have this much room to do that, but we're going on the offensive. Let's take a look at John 17. I'd like to pull some truths as we zero in on some of Jesus' final instructions to his followers. He's getting ready to depart, and he wants them to know these relational truths. These are really important truths, he's saying to them, that I want you to get. Let's start with John 17, verse 20. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." There's that beautiful Trinitarian love. The first relational truth I want us to look at is that Jesus wants his followers to experience a full embrace of Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy. Think about that for a second. May they be in us. May they be one as we are one. You've loved them even as you have loved me. Here's what Jesus is saying. I want you to come, my dear followers, and join in this Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy. Come join. And right away we start feeling like, whoa, how can I with these impure thoughts, how can I with these lustful attitudes, with these mistakes that I've made, with these patterns, even possibly consider moving into Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy? Guilt-free zone. I want you to hear God saying, yes, I take your sin very seriously, but I've never asked you to be the one to get rid of it. Come in to our fellowship. Let's open up dialogue about this meaningful part of who I've made you to be. Let's begin our conversation about what needs to be done with these areas, but let's do it differently. Let's take it out of your control to fix it, and why don't you let me help you? And let's do it in a way that restores and builds up and doesn't tear down. Isn't that refreshing? It's almost like a deep, okay. We're invited to bring into this fellowship all of who we are, physically, emotionally, spiritually, not just our spiritual part, all of who we are into this beautiful connection. It's as if God's saying, I created you with these longings. Let me show you how they can best be met. Please don't be ashamed of these longings. Please don't be embarrassed by how I made you. But let me show you how these longings can best be fulfilled within my design, starting with the embrace of Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy. Each day, I believe, begins with an invitation to be loved well. Each day. Today, you started with an invitation, God offering, be loved well. As you fill up on that love, Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy, something happens to you that fills you at your deepest longings. And I know that's a struggle for some, because of previous experiences with God and others, of feeling like it didn't work, it doesn't line up. That's okay. Wherever you are, the only thing that I would ask is that you open up conversation, open up dialogue with God, with others. Each day begins with an invitation to be loved well. And as we fill up with that love, as we allow it to saturate ourselves, every relationship that we encounter throughout that day, from casual to intimate, then is met with an overflow of us of having already been loved well. Do you see the beauty of God's design when he said, I will take responsibility for filling your deepest longings and needs with my love? Think of how many people have compromised their standards and their purity because they desire to be loved well. They desire to be accepted. What if we allowed God to fill that up first? Then when we meet others, we meet them out of an overflow, an enrichment, and a joining of what God has filled up in their lives. What a different perspective. We come out of fullness, not emptiness and neediness. That is God's design, and he's promised to give us that as a starting point. I like to think of it with this diagram. Seeing this is relationship truth number one, where we're filling up with God's love, Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy. You are loved well. Let's look at the second truth from John 17:13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Jesus is saying, I want to take the essence of who I am in my joyfulness, and I want to pour it into your heart. Let me give you a personal example of how this was brought home to me. When my daughter Dana was about 3 years old, she had a ritual that we did every morning as I left for work. This went on for several weeks, maybe even a few months. But I would get down on a lower step of a landing, and in her three-year-old way, and I didn't know what she was doing the first time she did this, she reached over and she grabbed my pocket. And I thought, well, she was just kind of steadying herself or trying to catch her balance. But she pulled my pocket out and she began to sing into my pocket. And she said, and I'll never forget her just tender little voice, she said, Dad, here's a pocket full of songs that you can pull out when you need to today. If you don't awe that, there's something really disturbed about you. And 10 o'clock, rough counseling session. I'm pulling out Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Because Dana put it there. She filled me with her joy in her three-year-old way as God's fullest measure of joy poured into us. Could we add joy to God's design for sexuality? The pleasure this brings God is immense. Think about how He created the human body. He placed nerve endings in certain regions of our body to give us maximum pleasure when we're touched. He created a part of the female anatomy. The clitoris has no other purpose. It has nothing to do with the reproductive cycle. It's designed for one purpose, and that is to bring pleasure to the female. Does the creation tell you something about the heart for the Creator? This would be a good time to say amen. Pleasure, joy, fill up with that joy. How does my desire to fill another person with joy reflect how I'm conducting myself in relationships right now? From meaningful friendship all the way to sexual intimacy and sexual fulfillment. Do I desire to fill others with joy? Can you sense the other-centeredness of that? The others-focused part of that. There's nothing here that is selfish. It's my desire to fill you up with joy because I've been filled up with God's joy. Father, Son, and Spirit, I've got something to give you to fill you up with joy. This is a strange thought, and this may really freak some of you out. I know when we talk about this in intimacy class with the undergrads, it's really, you can just see the faces kind of going a little bit sideways. God is present when couples have sex. Like, ooh, God's watching that? That kind of sounds a little creepy to me. Maybe a little voyeuristic. You know, what's God doing in the bedroom? God not only watches, He celebrates to see what He has designed in the context of a godly Christian couple experiencing the fullness of the freedom they have with their bodies and celebrating that love, pouring that love into each other in a way that is worshipful. You mean sex is worshipful? Does it bring glory to God? Absolutely. When used as He is designed for it to be used, it brings Him much glory. I recognize that's a shift for some of you. You've fallen into the trap that the world has that decompartmentalizes this idea. Please, 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 do not let the world steal from you God's richest blessing here. Now we have God's Father, Son, and Spirit love being poured in to what I would consider our I space, who we are as an individual, and fills us with this beautiful joy in the fullness of how He's made us. Let's go on to our next relational truth. John 17:14-16. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Relational truth number three. Jesus wants his followers to experience the full assurance of his protection. Jesus wants his followers to be prepared for the pressure and the attacks they'll face as they choose to follow God's design. It's not an easy choice to make in the world we live. I recognize that. I'm not naive enough to know that the pressures aren't intense, the longing's great, the ache of the heart immense. And the enemy knows the vulnerability places that is for our sin nature. Putting this on the relational continuum, one of the greatest challenges we have is to not define our sexuality based on the world's terms. Think for a second how many scenes of uncommitted sex you have seen in your life by watching television or going to movies. In the hundreds, if not thousands. You have seen direct and indirect scenes of sex, uncommitted sex, in the hundreds. How many of those scenes do you watch before this becomes normalized? I'm not one of these people who says we need to step out of culture, but I'm certainly one that says we need to understand what culture will do to us if left unchecked and unfiltered. Your music. Where does it leave your thought life? Where does it take your thoughts? How many scenes of uncommitted sex before it becomes normal? Protect. How do we protect that Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy? How do we stay in tune with those promptings of the Spirit that say, wait a minute, be careful here. Wait a minute. This is not building you up. This is not restorative. If a couple, and I may be speaking to one or two of you, I know what spring can be like around CIU. Maybe a couple of you are moving toward that end of the continuum that you're thinking about, wow, this could be the one. This could really be something special. I mean, it started with that unexpected trip to Walmart and ended at the Point. Be careful. If a couple's moving toward the sexual end of the relationship continuum, what does protection really look like? And I'm not referring to condoms. Protection means no emotional manipulation. If you love me, you'd be willing to. It also, as you know, and you've been taught since junior high school, protection means avoiding those situations where compromise takes place. The world has said, this is the definition of beauty. God has said, let me define it by a Trinitarian love relationship. Know how much I love you, how much I want to have conversation with you about how I made you with these longings, with these insecurities, with these feelings that I don't measure up to this perfect Photoshop world's image. God says, let me meet you there. Let's open up a conversation about that. Let me show you what it means to be loved well, be loved perfectly by the one who made you just the way you are. Maybe this is a takeaway thought for you. Each one of you sitting here was uniquely designed to be enjoyed by God. Uniquely designed to be enjoyed by God. And I know that stirs up some struggles for some of you saying, I don't like his design. It doesn't place me in a position where I'm finding many relationship options right now. We're going to get to that tomorrow, so hang in there with us. I'm also aware of some of you are sitting here thinking, that sounds so good. I wished I could start over again. I wished I hadn't messed it up. Please, Father, Son, and Spirit intimacy saying, I am the Redeemer. There are no unusable ingredients in my recipe. If you've missed it, if you've messed it up, please don't feel like you're disqualified from my best. That is a lie from the enemy. Please don't accept it. I want to fill you with my fullest measure of joy in all parts of your life, including your physical longings for physical sexual expression. And I want to teach you what it means to protect that which is so special so that it can be used for my glory. And that is my promise, he says to each of us. You are uniquely designed for all of those beautiful blessings to be yours at their fullest. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your incredible creative design. I thank you that you have given us this special gift of relationship and our sexuality. Maybe it's been a long time, if ever, that we've actually stopped to thank you for that. It's been such a burden, and it's had so many negative associations. I pray that we could be cut free from those negative associations, from the guilt, from the bondage of all that the enemy would like to destroy us with. And know that you're there to embrace us wherever we are in this journey, in this relational continuum. You're there. You hear the longings of the heart for a relationship. It's hard to see other couples walking off and going off, and I'm alone in my dorm room, night after night, weekend after weekend. It hurts. Thank you that you're there to meet me in that hurt. I thank you that you have some things to show me there. But please meet me there. Please don't let me stay there long. Please give me the grace to walk into what you have for me. Others are questioning whether we should stay in this relationship. It's a hard, hard question. There's pain, there's frustration, there's confusion, there's pressure. Please, please give wisdom and discernment. And God, for those who are struggling with their habits and their thought lives, please let them know you're right there. You've not turned your back. You've not walked away. You're not disgusted. You're there as the father of the prodigal with your arms wide open, ready to embrace and receive and say, let's walk into this together. Allow these truths to sink in deeply. Guide us in these next few days. Give us wisdom. Give us your Holy Spirit to move with freedom to a full Father, Son, and Spirit embrace. And may out of that overflow, we embrace others well with what it means to be loved. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.